This is John Reed for the excuse me, for the Uncensored Week in Sports. I fell a little behind on my broadcasting schedule, and all these topics have piled up that I want to comment on, so I'm going to see if I can get back on track here today. There were a number of developments in the last week that I felt like I couldn't really resist making a note of. One of them was obviously the Pats-Ravens game, shrouded in controversy as it was. And my goal with this broadcast for new and old listeners alike is I want to see if I can comment on aspects of situations in sports that you're not going to hear elsewhere. I just feel like rehashing what's already been done, maybe better probably by other people, isn't a good use of my time in this series. So my goal here is to try to give you some stuff that you haven't heard elsewhere or look at some issues in a different kind of a way. Now, with the Pats-Ravens game, I think we have some situations as far as perception of injustice versus reality, and I think it touches on pretty much anyone in terms of how officiating plays into that as a fan, as a player. Now, you could go through the calls and debate them a little bit. I'm not sure. Stepping back, there were too many debatable calls in that game, but you definitely got the feeling that the Pats got some lucky breaks in that game and the Ravens let one slip away. I thought what was interesting in the fallout from the game is there was so much bitterness on the part of the Ravens, and to some degree, I think that was reflected in the fact that they didn't really play this well the rest of their season, so by default, this game became their Super Bowl, and that's why it was so bitter. If they had played this way all year, the way they played the Pats, they would be looking ahead to the playoffs, I think, and could have said after the game, well, we'll see you again, and we'll teach you a lesson then. But because it became their Super Bowl, they put themselves in a high-stakes position, and I think with officiating in any sport, you know there's a margin for error. There's going to be human judgment calls, and the way you combat that is by winning handily whenever possible so as not to put yourself in a situation where there's a call that goes against you. One thing that I noticed after the fact is that the Ravens were quick to blame the officiating and not so quick to assume responsibility for whatever they had done to put themselves in that position, whether it was the coach who called an inappropriate fourth down penalty when he should have just let the team take its stand, or whether it was Bart Scott throwing a flag out of the end zone and compounding his team situation on the return. He really owed his team an apology for his behavior instead of couching it in some justification about other stuff that had gone on. And what I think is fascinating about success in life is that the Ravens exhibited a lot of what you could call characteristics of success in life, as far as they play with passion, they play with intensity, they play with a winning strategy on defense, complex schemes executed to perfection, but then a lot of lack of self-discipline in certain situations, a feeling of being out of control, a lot of overly excessive celebrations prematurely when Ray Lewis thought he had stopped the Pats on that fourth down play, only to find it had been called back, and there was all kinds of dancing and celebrating. So you have sort of a combination of winning characteristics and self-defeating characteristics wrapped up in the same behavior, and I think that's actually very common in life, and I guess I would include myself in that, is that we find ourselves combining the attributes that would get us to a successful place with attributes that kind of tear us down at the same time. I guess maybe there's even a Shakespearean level of tragedy to that, I don't know, but certainly saw it from the Ravens, and it made me think a little bit about some of the Ravens guys, like Ray Lewis, noted brush with the law, infamous connection to a murder which he was not found guilty of as far as a major count, but did plead guilty to a minor count. But at any rate, the guys like Ray and Bart Scott, I think both attended, I think it was Bart, they both attended the U, or maybe it was, no, it was Ed Reed that also went to the U, as it's called, the University of Miami. And you get this sense from some of the Ravens that they've cultivated a mindset of me against the world, we've overcome all odds, we're players, we're physically dominant, we're, in a sense, they were shunned by society perhaps in certain ways and then turned that around into a badge of success. And I guess I can relate to that in that obviously I don't have that kind of background, but You know, I grew up kind of white, lower middle class, whatever you want to call it, but I definitely had my share of feeling like I couldn't get where I wanted to go in life. My grades weren't good enough for Ivy League schools where my friends were going to go. And I found a way to turn that mentality around at certain points in my life where, you know, things I was good at outside the margins in my life that made me kind of a freak, or whether it was my writing abilities or other things that were more unconventional, try to turn those around into an advantage instead of saying, well, I'm second class, I can't get into this Ivy League school or whatever. It's like, well, you know, I'm better than that anyway. I'm a rebel. I don't need those conventional educational formats. So I went to more experimental school, Hampshire College, where I could define my own curriculum. By the time I graduated, I was full of attitude that I had reinvented myself in a way that made me, in a way, superior. And I think there's a danger to that outlook, and maybe with the Ravens too, where maybe they don't feel accountable in a certain way to the team concept. And I think when you see yourself as better than the system that you're working, whether it's the NFL or life itself, what you find sometimes is that system ends up being pretty powerful in the end. And if you don't understand how to work it and how the rules work, it can end up biting you in the butt. And I kind of saw that in that game where, yeah, you know, we got all this fiery attitude, we're passionate, we're going to kick the Pats' butts, whatever, but not paying attention to penalties and rules and discipline and what it takes to close out a game ends up haunting you. So I think it's interesting how the very secrets of our success to get us to a certain point, when it's attitude and passion and conviction and turning our lives around, been in, working outside the system, and then at some point it comes back to haunt us later. And so I think Ravens didn't look in the mirror enough on that issue, and it's kind of interesting to think about in the context of how any of us approach our lives and realizing that you got to draw on a lot of different strategies and perspectives, I think, to succeed. And one of them is a self-reflection that the things that got us to a certain point in life, they might let us down on a higher stage, and we need to be open to what it takes to change to succeed within that context and assume a lot more responsibility for our own behaviors and how we play into the outcomes. So that's my more serious rant that I wanted to share. Now, the other thing that's been on my mind a little bit is just this whole internet concept of everyone's opinion matters. And I think, you know, the idea that in a democracy that everyone's opinion carries weight, you know, is a mythology that's developed for a long time. And the internet has only expanded that through the ability to for all of us to become pundits and publishers, just simply by pressing the send button or hitting a chat room. And ESPN has certainly taken advantage of that by the conversation functions it's implemented into its site that allows pretty much anyone with any kind of an opinion just to sound off. And I'm sure aside from crossing the line on certain racial and profane aspects, you can pretty much say whatever you want in these chat conversations. And it's amazing how lowest common denominator the dialogue becomes, how vicious and small-minded some of the comments are, and basically it doesn't seem like higher ground is ever achieved. Everyone gets to sound off, but the problem is that it actually takes a lot of work and thought to form a good, accurate, useful opinion about something in life. And the reason for that is that not only do you need to inform yourself, but you need to become aware of your own subjectivity and how your own stake in a certain outcome can affect your take, and acknowledging a little bit your own prejudices and trying to work to overcome them. For example, I have prejudices towards certain things as far as the teams I root for in the Boston area that sometimes color how I look at things. And, you know, there may be a little bit sometimes of a resentment that I have towards professional athletes and the freedoms and that they might have financially and otherwise, that, you know, every day is a financial struggle for me. And so that's just where my life is at right now, and working to change that. But, you know, I'm sure that I have some resentments about the way in which certain very rich individuals, in this case professional athletes, have achieved things financially that I haven't, and I don't necessarily think it's fair or whatever, but it is how it is, and I have to learn how to acknowledge that and overcome that in order to have an opinion that actually carries some weight and isn't just an antagonistic, small-minded perspective. So my issue with the internet is I think it reinforces the idea that just sound off, it's okay. It doesn't matter how much thought you've given anything. As long as you have the ability to hit send, you go ahead and do it. And, yeah, everyone gets a voice, I suppose, and, you know, I don't necessarily fully object to it. It's just that I've challenged anyone to show me a format where people are given that kind of freedom and there's actually like a consistent higher ground that's achieved. It just rarely happens. I run a publishing group, a news group, that I think stays a little more on track, but that's partially because we avoid hot-button issues and partially because it's heavily moderated. And when you open up these forums for anyone, what you get is just a chaos of ridiculous opinions. Now, I think for ESPN, it's a great business model to incorporate that into what they do because it creates a level of interactivity that you're not going to get any other way. And, of course, that's all about getting traffic and selling eyeballs and making money through advertising and all that other stuff. So I'm not questioning it as a business model at all. What I'm saying is that I just don't think it raises the level of discourse necessarily. And I'm not, you know, suggesting that we should go back in time to where only, you know, certified sports journalists from major newspapers had the right to, you know, say what they wanted to say. I'm just saying that this notion that we all should have an opinion that it has merit just because we have something to type into our computer, I don't buy that. I think we should all take it upon ourselves to realize that we need to think and inform ourselves and then rethink before we offer up something in order to really give people something they maybe haven't heard before or a perspective that might actually be of some interest. And to illustrate this point, I thought I would experiment with a little feature where there's a show on ESPN News on Friday nights at 7 o'clock called, it's like ESPN Radio Football or something, Football in Review. I'll get the right title for it. It's Friday, 7 p.m., and it's Chris Mortensen is the host, and Keyshawn Johnson and Bill Parcells are there, and there's a lot of fantasy stats that run across the screen. And then throughout the television show, they move opinions back and forth from people posting on the ESPN website various football opinions. I'm going to go through some of these with you on this broadcast and just illustrate a sense of like why I think this kind of stuff doesn't really raise the level of discourse at all. I'm not going to single out individuals because it's not my goal here isn't to make fun of any one person, but simply just the idea of this, that somehow this is a useful and helpful idea. So I didn't take the whole show, and I don't think they run that many anyway, but I'm going to go through some. We'll see how it goes here. So I'm going to hit play. Okay, so I'm not going to give the full usernames of these people because that's not really the point. I'm just going to give the first letter. M says, stop Westbrook. You stop the Eagles. And once the Giants do, game over. I guess that's pretty self-explanatory. C says, hopefully Jason Campbell's injury only keeps him out a few weeks. That's a nice sentiment. I don't know that it really made a difference to anyone's life to see that, but yeah, sure, we all hope that. The conversation continues. E says, Tom Brady has enough time in the pocket to make a BLT with the bacon being frozen. Yeah, that's sure, yeah. Hey, did you watch the last couple weeks' games? The offensive line didn't protect the pocket well at all. D says, Cowboys got this. Kitten is in for a rude awakening. James is going to make sure of it. Yeah, I'm betting that game might end up being a little tighter than that, actually. But fine, okay. So, Kitna, you don't think Kitna, like, expects the Cowboys to play well? Okay, sure, whatever. C says, Browns will come out with a 10-0 lead before the Jets get on the board. Okay. You can let me know how you get access to that information. I can work with your bookie also, and we can make some money on this shit. Okay, D says, the Pats play a bend-but-don't-break style of defense. They have been for a few years now. All right. Everyone write that down. G says, as a Panther fan, I'd like to see Carolina win. The Jags play fairly mistake-free football. All right. S says, I'm going to take the Ravens in the upset, even off the short week. Okay, sure. Why not? C says, the Saints and the Bears were flukes last season. Really? I didn't know. K says, LT will find holes and eat up that clock. Chargers win 23-10. All right. Sure. So, oh, B says, excuse me, B says, upset alert. Raiders 28, Packers 24. Okay. Let me see if I can change that in my pool this week. Hope it's not too late. S says Bucks 20, Oilers 10. Who's next? Well, you got to beat the Oilers first. Let's see how that goes for you. Maybe not so much. D says, I think Jim Bates, the D coordinator, will be out of the Mile High City next year. Okay. M says, with AD back, that will only make T-Jack's job that much easier. AD, T-Jack, whatever. Does anyone know who that refers to? F says, the Bears should just lose and try to get the best draft pick they can and take a QB. Okay, yeah. Is that legal? J says, Lions will not reach 10 wins like Kitner predicted. They might not get another win this season. Okay. M says, the Vikes are for sure a threat and a playoff team. They're for sure a playoff team? All right, well, let's just end the season now. W says, Seattle's defense has been playing to its potential the last couple weeks. Really? R says, Ravens have done a good job slowing down offenses like the Colts before. Sure. L says, I predict 14 interceptions between Eli and whoever the Eagles put out there. Well, actually, McNabb is going to play, so I'm not sure what you're thinking there. It goes on, right? So did anything that I just read reflect anything that was remotely helpful or interesting to anybody at any point? So this is the kind of, like, and in fact, that's really kind of mild compared to some of the stuff that goes on in the on the website, the kind of ways in which people beat each other up and mock each other. And, you know, so I guess it's great for involving users and getting people excited about bashing each other's heads in online. But as far as we're concerned, for the purposes of really taking something we didn't know away from this kind of situation, in my opinion, it pretty much just fills our minds with clutter that we didn't even need. I'm going to see if I can find you something online here, show you a taste of how this goes, see if I can find a good conversation for you on the ESPN.com website. If you're looking for some of this action, you just scroll down and, oh, here's one, featured comment. Tom Brady is by far the best QB in football history. G says, he's got a little Red Sox cap in his image that you can put an image now. Okay, so whatever, like, yeah. I mean, I'm as big a Brady fan as you could ever want. And that's just, his career's not done. What can you say? He's starting to get into the conversation. He's starting to get into that team photo. But Joe Montana had 16 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the Super Bowl that he won. So I think we got to hold off on Brady is the best ever for a while. Okay, so now we're in a comment section on the Pats article. Okay, so here's one guy that says, the Pats drafting is pretty bad. What has Jackson done in two seasons? That fool just cares about getting his hair braided and wearing fancy earrings. The same goes for Brandon Merriweather. Okay. C says, I have to read all the clowns. It's great, and he cheated. Brady wouldn't win without Moss, blah, blah, blah. If you don't like the Patriots, then do not watch any more football because they will kill your team. Too bad, suckers. I love that stuff of, like, fans thinking, well, yeah, this is my freaking team, so I'm basically on the team. So I just stepped you off. All right, let's see what else we got. The reason why Eagles and the Ravens game was so close was because both teams have very good corners. Steelers' corners blow. The only good corner they have is Rossum, and it showed in this game. If Pauly was in, I'll admit it would have been a way closer game, but Pauly was injured and we won. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, fine. But Rosie Colvin was injured too, so whatever. Injuries are part of the thing. Someone just wrote, don't cry. Then a Steeler fan says, I'm a Steeler fan, but I have to admit that the Patriots kick grass. That's clever. Oh, someone else says, awesome, nothing went his way against the Ravens. Oh, yeah, except at the end when the Ravens gave the Pats that game. Brady bitched that entire game. Ha ha, here's another one. Ha ha, Affleck and Damon are famous for writing this movie called Good Will Hunting about Boston, which won them best script, blah, 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 blah. And those who accuse bandwagoning, my Bledsoe and Sam Gass jerseys still hang in my closet. I bet a lot of other Pats fans have similar jerseys, too. Blah, 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 blah. Then there's, okay. Someone says, wow, finally a Pats fan says something original. I wish that any team that played the Patriots would cheat, too. I would allow it. Signed by Roger Goodell. Nice. Here's someone. Brady equals awesomeness. Said, Brady's overrated. Yeah, Colts fans and Squealers fans, go home and cry to your moms. You just got your a-hole spanked by the better team. Face the facts, the Pats are the best team this year, bar none. Don't hate the players, hate the game. Moss is the greatest WR ever. Brady is the QB ever. The Pats own you because you haters are crying that they are cheaters, bad calls. It's football, not soccer. Pats, Pats, Pats. Colts suck. Squealers suck. Then someone else says, I'm so sick of Boston area teams. This other guy, I have a question for all you losers who come in here and cry about the Patriots. Don't you losers have anything better to do than to come in that room and cry about a team that isn't from your area? Are you that pathetic? Blah, 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 blah. Okay, just keep going. Brady equals God, period. Scrolling down. Scrolling down. No matter what they do, they will be remembered like Bonds is a cheat. Yeah, that's a good parallel. Stop to chat about Tom Brady and the best QB in history. Look at all freaking weapons. Give those three to Favre or even Romo, and they will have the same season as Brady. Oh, yes, and I don't think the Colts are going to let the Pats get away with the AFC. It wasn't holding on Harrison. It was within or close to 5 yards. He pushed him around and then clearly backed off of him to run and make the play. The broadcasters acknowledged it was a good play, and Belichick did too in the press conference. I don't even know what they're... Oh, yeah, this is the last week's game they're talking about. Tom Brady just seems good because he has the right wide receiver in the offense line. So, anyway, I mean, this goes on and on. There's 7,000... similar comments to this story, and I just think it's amazing that people actually think that this is like their name in lights. Is this some kind of residue of celebrity culture where, like, just the fact that you're like in some chat room somewhere makes your day worthwhile? I don't know, but for me, like, there's so much better ways of getting your voice across and getting lost in that just noise, which, by the way, will be buried within days, where that stuff is just gone, and then you're on to a new sound-off session where you rip someone else's head off or they rip your head off, and, that's really great. You know, like, that's, to me, that's the problem with how we're approaching sports in the Internet age, is everyone gets an opinion, but no one is asked to really think through the implications of what they're doing. But whatever, I guess we could say the same about many things, including political leadership on both sides of the aisle, so it's probably not unique to sports. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up this little podcast rant, and I was thinking I might, as a regular feature, make fun of some of this stuff, but honestly, going through it, it was probably maybe more depressing than it was anything, so maybe I'll just leave that alone as a one-time thing and try to come up with more compelling ideas for other broadcasts. But I think my point was made. And I'm going to wrap up for this one, but I'm going to be doing another one soon, looking back on this week in sports with the Pats-Steelers game and other meltdowns, including the BCS disaster. So, all right, I'll see you next time on the Uncensored Week in Sports.
Goodbye.